Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. I am delighted to be here today. I'm grateful for this opportunity. I certainly want to thank Brother Rick Swift. He tagged me at the graduation back in December about coming to Speaking Chapel, and I thought it was just a kind word, but he was a man of his word. So thank you, Rick. I certainly want to thank Dr. Jones for the kind introduction. I appreciate his friendship and fellowship, and I pray God's richest blessings upon him. I certainly want to honor Dr. King, Dr. Andre Rogers, and Dr. Igo Hodges, who were my committee for my dissertation. Dr. King was the chairperson. I enjoyed working with him, and he's been a mentor in my life for some time now. Certainly to all of my professors, former professors, to Dean Harvey, and mentors and friends that come back and see me over and over again, I'm grateful for each of you. Certainly appreciate this opportunity to speak today. I'm just a country boy. Grew up in a small town just south of Sumter, called Somerton. About 2,000 people, a very small town. Really hasn't grown very much over the years. And so for me to be able to stand on this stage today is an awesome privilege. You never know where the Lord is going to take you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, I just want to know y'all awake out there, okay? Today, I really want to talk with you from the subject, trusting God with the unknown. Trusting God with the unknown. There are two verses, or maybe two sets of verses I want to read first, but I really want to go to Jeremiah chapter 29. I know that it's been over-preached, and I'm hearing somebody in my spirit saying now, not Jeremiah 29 again. But I believe there are a couple of things the Lord wants me to say to you, and I also want to share some testimony with you through this presentation today. The first verses I want to read are also very familiar verses from the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. For whom God did foreknow, he also predestined to conform to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Jeremiah 29, beginning at verse number 1. Again, trust in God with the unknown. This is the text, verse number 1, the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and the priests, the prophets and all the other people. Nebuchadnezzar has carried away into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elisha, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those that have carried away into exile from Jerusalem into Babylon. I'm going to stop there just for a minute. I'll travel through the passage just a little bit farther in just a minute. But as I was reading this passage, I was preparing for today, I was encouraged. You know, this is one of those passages that we've heard a lot about, particularly verse 11. But as we think about the unknown, in all of our lives, there are some unknowns. Whether you are a student who is 18 or 19, whether you are a professor who is 65 or 70, there are some unknowns in our lives. And we cannot walk with God without dealing with some unknowns. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The first thing I want to lift up to you today is this. When you're trusting God for the unknown, accept the will of God for your life today. Accept the will of God for your life today. It says here in the text that this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, said. It's interesting that sometimes that when things are going well in our lives and the pieces are coming together, we think, okay, I'm in the center of God's will. But when things are not going as well, we think, well, something must be wrong. Can I just tell you by way of testimony that sometimes when you're in the center of God's will is when you're going to have some real difficulties. Dr. Jones mentioned that I was a student in his class in the 90s. Well, in the 90s was not my first time coming to CIU as a student. Actually, I first came to CIU in 1986, way back in the old days when we still wrote on chalkboards. And I think that we might have had nails for pencils or something like that, you know, way back. All right, y'all don't get that. Y'all too young for that. Okay. But back then, CIU, well, it wasn't CIU, Columbia Bible College, Missions, whatever it was on a quarter system. And I used to be a public school teacher, and I had a desire to go to seminary. And there's something about Christians and desire. When we get desires, we want to move on them. And so I taught for 3 years, and I knew that they had taken out some money out of my check every pay period. And so I decided to take the money out of my retirement account because I was going to seminary. Because God couldn't give me the desire to go to seminary without providing the opportunity to go to seminary. So I took my money out, signed up, came to seminary. There's a verse someplace in the Old Testament talk about that the heavens were like brass over your head. That's kind of how I felt during that time. The Lord didn't let me sink, but he didn't give me a lot of swimming room either. And so I came one semester, I had enough money for one quarter, and I left. I remember driving out of the driveway that day, and I said, as I was driving down the driveway, I said, I will be back. I didn't know when, and I didn't know how. I said all that to say to you, sometimes what we want is not necessarily what God wants for us at that moment. But I want to encourage you today to accept where your life is. Many of us are looking to where we want to go. Our sights are on the mission field, our sights are on a pastorate, our sights are on a teaching position. But where does God have you right now? Well, and what does he want to do with you where you are at this moment in time? You may not be where you want to be, but you could very well be just where God wants you to be right now. Don't worry so much about when you get there as much as what God wants to do in you while you are right here. Trust God that he knows what he's doing. Now, trust is a very interesting word. There's often this thing we do, this trust exercise where one person stands in front of another and that person's supposed to fall back and the individual's supposed to catch that person. Is that right? But you can't do that kind of exercise with every person because you don't trust everyone enough to catch you or to keep you from falling. I said all that to say this. You and I would have to walk with God to know what God can do. Can I get a witness? It's not so much about how well you can pray, how well you can speak, what connections you have. You've got to know that you can trust God and depend on him when you can depend on no one else. Trust has the idea of confidence. And I want to let you know, I don't know where you are today, but wherever you are, that God knows where you are and he knows his plans for you. And so I want to encourage you to trust him today. You see, the text continues and the next verse says, while you're there, I want you to build houses and settle down. I want you to plant gardens. I want you to eat the produce. I want you to marry. I want your children to marry. I want you to do all these things. Also, he says, seek the prosperity of the city for which I have carried you into exile and pray for it. For if the city prospers, then you will prosper as well. Don't just accept where you are. I think you also need to be productive where you are. Number two, I think you need to be productive where you are today. Many Christians stop producing because of their circumstances. The one thing I've learned, by the way, I came to know Christ as a 14-year-old, and so I've been walking with the Lord now for about 42 years. And one of the things I've learned is God doesn't always do things when I want them done. Nor does he do things the way I want them done. He seemed to have his own mind about the way he's going to do things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, anybody ever trying to encourage God? You know, God, just let me do this. Let's just do it this way. But he doesn't always do it that way because he has a better plan. Can I tell someone who is, when I first came to seminary, I was 26 years old. And I thought I knew what the will of God was. But can I tell you that I've learned that God's got a better plan. I don't care what you say, what you know, who you know. God has a better plan. So when my money ran out, the school wouldn't keep me. They wouldn't let me stay here at CIU without money. I had to have money to stay in school. Somebody know what I'm talking about? So I left, went back to teaching. I'm Peter, when you don't know what else to do, you go back to what you know to do. Peter kept going back to fishing. I kept going back to teaching. And I was sitting in my classroom one day, several years later, and I was saying, God, I want to go to seminary. And I don't have the money. I got to work to feed my family, et cetera, et cetera. But the Lord opened the door for me. 11 years later, God opened a door. In fact, God opened a door that I could have never suspected and one that I didn't even know was available out there. It happened during the height of the Promise Keeper movement when we were going through racial reconciliation, all this great stuff, and something was a part of that movement. I had been invited to teach in a Caucasian church one Sunday morning. I had been invited to teach their Sunday school class. And I really didn't want to go. It wasn't because they were Caucasian. I just didn't want to go. I had other things to do. I didn't want to go. And I didn't want to go. And I almost didn't go. Sometimes when you don't want to do something, you can find a reason why not. Am I right? I didn't want to go. But I went. And so I went and they invited me again. Okay. You know, now I'm beginning to think, you know, I must be pretty good. They invited me back. And we came to a Promise Keepers. We chartered a bus, or they chartered a bus. I came with them. We came to a Promise Keepers movement here. Dr. Tony Evans spoke at the Carolina Coliseum. And when we were on the bus, I was sitting beside a guy that I developed a friendship with on the bus. And while we were traveling, he said to me, he said, Nate, he said, is there anything that you desire that we might be able to help you with? So at that time, I was pastoring a church, and I told him, I said, well, yeah, I like, you know, this, and the church needs this, and whatever else. He said, what about you? He said, is there anything you would desire for yourself? And I said to myself in my spirit, I said, don't play with my nerves here today. I said, yes, I would like to go to seminary. He said, okay. He said, how much would it cost? I don't know. A lot of money, I guess. I don't know. He said, why don't you find out? Okay. So I went, I found out what tuition and all that stuff cost, what living expenses would cost. And so I came back to him with a figure. And of course, I made a little bit, I need a little bit of extra. I need some cushioning in this thing. Now, I don't need nothing right. And so I told him, and he said, we can do that. You can. And so this group came together with a few other friends, and they paid for seminary for me. When I finished, I left seminary with no debt. Along the way, I was able to even help some other folk along the way. Because when the Lord got ready, it was no longer about what I want to do. You see, sometimes the things that we want God to do now, God is not ready to do them yet. And not only is not God not ready to do them yet, we are not ready for God to do them in our lives yet. So the Lord opened a great door. So again, be productive. Do what you need to do where you are right now. Don't wait until you get to Vietnam. Don't wait until you get to the mission field. Don't wait until you get to the perfect pastor. By the way, having been a pastor, having been an associate pastor, done it all, listen, there ain't no perfect pastor, okay? There might be some perfect mission field, but there are no perfect pastors. But if you trust the Lord, he will see you through the unknown. And all I want to say to you today is that God is faithful. That God is working a work in our lives that is greater than what you and I can see with the natural eye. Because not only was God wanting to do something in my life, but he wanted to do something in the lives of the men who covenant with me to help me through school. I want to encourage you today as you consider this passage to be productive where you are. You keep on doing what you're doing in spite of how you might want to be doing something else at that time. It's amazing to me how as people, we're always looking at where we want to go rather than enjoying where we are. People are talking about, well, I'm going to the mountain this weekend, but what are you doing today? People are talking about, I'm going to the beach this summer. Well, what are you doing today? Because I believe that God wants to bless us and make us productive where we are right now. Because what he's going to do through us down the road is also part of what he wants to do in and through us today. Jeremiah had a very strong message, a very difficult message to share with the people, but he preached it anyhow. My third point to you today is this. Complete your assignment. He says it here, verse number 10, he says to them, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Can I just remind you that you and I, God has, if we know the Lord, that he has an assignment for each one of us. And he wants us to complete the assignment. You know, as I was reading over this passage, I was studying it, preparing. You know, God says you're going into exile or you're going into Babylon for 70 years. Not only are they going to Babylon, but others are going to be left behind for 70 years. Can I remind you, as Dr. Harvey reminded me one day, you and I need to understand that if God is going to use our lives, it's much more about the quality of what we do than it is about the quantity of what we do. I think that as people, we often focus on how much I have done for God. But is it quality? Does it make the kind of difference that God wants you to make? You're going to be there for 70 years. And we got to understand that God does not operate on a timetable. I see there's a clock back there. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything to me, does it? God does not operate on the same timetable. God doesn't have to be out by 11:45. Is that right? God doesn't operate on that. God doesn't have to do it before the sundown. God is in full charge. He's full control. God says, I will come. God says, I will keep my word. He says, for I know the plans I have for you. Can I just encourage a 26-year-old in here who could be me 30 years ago? God knows the plans that he has for you. May I encourage a 37-year-old who's like me, who came back to school at 37, and a lot of kids in the seminary, or young adults in the seminary, were 15 years younger than I was. They were picking up the Greek, and I was looking for the Greek. That God knows what he's doing in your life, and God has a time that if you and I will trust him, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I plan to prosper you, to give you a future that is full of hope. Can I just remind you one more time that God is faithful and that he will do just what he says? You see, often I think that we are pursuing our plans at the expense of not finding what his plans are. That we are pursuing what we want at the expense of not finding out what he wants. As we trust him, before all of us today, there's an unknown future. We know where we are today, but we don't know where we're going to be a week from now. We don't know where we're going to be a year from now. If the Lord lives or tarries, we don't know where we're going to be 10 years from now. But God does. God is trustworthy. You know, no matter what we do in this life, if we're going to follow him, we're going to be committed to following him. And he will show us his plan. Maybe today you have a diagnosis that takes you into the unknown. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. Maybe you're here today and your financial situation is really bad. God knows how he's going to work it out for you. If he did it for me, and I'm no one special, he can do it for you. Not only did I finish seminary with no school debt, I finished my D-Men with no school debt. I don't think they let you do that anyhow. Right. The Lord provided. What God showed me when I did my MDiv was, I'm able to meet your needs. I can do it. And I'm not going to be rushed by what you think I should be doing at this time. Because I am trustworthy. Paul said, God is faithful. He will do just what he said. Well, the old clock on the wall says my time is up. I have much more to say today. If you want to stick around for the second message, I'll be here. But for the rest of you, let me close in a word of prayer. Lord, you know where each person in this house is today, from the president of the university to the newest student on campus. God, you know where each person is, from the oldest person here to the youngest person. But Lord, today, in this moment, Lord, we commit what we don't know to the God who knows it all. Because you are an awesome God, and you've already proven to us that there's nothing too hard for you. As you said to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He said, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. God, help us to be people who believe you, to not only to the saving of our soul, but to the saving of the souls of others. Again, Lord, we love you today. God, we praise and adore you, for you are good all the time, and all the time, God, you are good. For it's in Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.